We want to praise the Lord, seeking the Lord, asking him, what would you have us to study tonight? And sometime we get messages in different ways, which is just precious, because that way it's always him and not us. But this message came through in an experience, and this has been twice that he's given a message, just through something that actually happened. But tonight we're going to talk about faith. Have saints, it has to be one of our favorite subjects, because everything we have, everything we've been given, and everything that he has for us, our inheritance in him, everything is by faith. So we rejoice in that. This is what he laid on my heart. And one of the sweetest things is Jesus lets us know that faith is rewarded. Faith is rewarded. So we're going to turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Everybody probably knows that Hebrew Hall of Fame. 11:1. This is faith defined. And we know this, but this is how faith is defined. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then it gives us a whole list of wonderful, we can say most precious, by faith, testimonies of these precious men and women that by faith they were rewarded. And it's a testimony to us. And one of the main things the Lord put on my heart tonight, and I just loved it, you know, saints, faith is a fight. We may not look at it that way, but we fight the good fight of faith. So it's a fight, it's a battle. And that's what Jesus wants us to know. And we have, again, this divine testimony. And then Jesus tells us that this amazing, glorious, steadfast faith is found in Galatians 2:20. And we can just turn there. We can quote that. Most of us can quote that. But it's wonderful to turn over it and look at it. Okay. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And don't you just love this? And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So the faith is not of us, it's of the Son of God. Our faith is from Jesus. And we learn to pray. I've heard so many young people, like you young people, lately, you have beautiful smiles. So wonderful to have you here. But I've heard so many people, our young people, talk about faith, and they're learning to pray, Lord, give me more faith. And I'm learning to back off from a lot of you young people, because I love to say to them and all of us, you know, when we pray, by God's grace, we pray believing. And we pray that we know we need more faith. And Romans 10:17 tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more you read your Bibles, the more that he gives you a desire to read. And if you're like me, and I don't want to point to you, but I'm just so excited you're here. I love you guys being here. But the more you read the word, that's how you get faith. The more you learn of him, the more, and we all are learning and getting more faith, because we have a wonderful minister by God's grace here, and he just tells us constantly, nonstop, and I'm so glad he reminds us, it's the word, it's the word, it's the word, it's this. It's the word that gives us more faith, and that's how we get faith. And it's true, because we grow in grace and knowledge of him, the word says, and then the more we know of him, the more we believe. And that's it's wonderful how Jesus made these things. Quite simple, but at the same time, we need the Holy Spirit. And I know you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit tells us, and wonderfully, about the plan and purpose of God for this age. It's a privilege that his faith is abiding in us, that cannot fail. And I want to share with you one thing that I never thought of, that faith will be challenged. It definitely will be challenged. I never thought of that before until I experienced it. And it can be friends, family in here, we're all family of Christ. But one of the first things that I've heard, or you'll hear, is, are you sure God told you that? And you look at that person, it's like, well, he said we can know his will, so I believe he did tell me that. Well, are you sure? I mean, saints, it just goes on and on. And I love this because I didn't realize this until I began to experience it. And again, the other thing is, when you hear that, you hear, well, I think you believe too much. God didn't tell you that. I don't think God told you that. And it's like, okay, I'll accept that too. And God is so precious, because apart from his grace, I would begin to judge them. It's like, how dare you? But the first thing the Holy Spirit said to me, put yourself in their shoes. You're telling them that God gave you something that seems strange, but very sweet. But it seems more than most people would think that God will do. And it started with a gift that we wanted to give my precious husband and I. We wanted to give it away. Oh, no, you can't give that away. You can't just walk up and tell somebody, here, this is from Jesus. I want you to have this. They'll think you're crazy. That's okay, too. So you think about that. And the next thing you hear is, I said, well, it's not exactly new. It's been used. Well, it might become very valuable one day. Have you ever thought about that? Then what are you going to say? God gave it to you. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, yes. He gave it to me. Yes, he wants me to do his will in this. And yes, if it becomes valuable, so what? I'm not here to stay, and neither are you. I'm looking for a heavenly home. And it's just amazing what you'll hear if you walk by faith. And when I begin to hear these things, it's like, okay, I didn't realize at the time that it would be a fight like it turned out to be, but again, learning so much, so many things. And in my notes here, and as we turn to Hebrews 11:6, we realize something so valuable to the Lord Jesus. So valuable in this lesson. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith, again, is rewarded when we walk by faith. And as we think about faith, is trusting God. Then we read, we want to be satisfied. Again, it's impossible to please God. We want to satisfy him. So the way we satisfy him is believing him. We live in a time that's always existed. Most people think that God wants them to work for him. That's not God's plan. He wants us to get to know him. And I just love you. You're here for my purpose tonight, you young people. You're engaged to a man. And all he wanted you to do was wait on him. When you begin to have second thoughts, it's like, what about some affection? Oh, we'll get around to that later on. Oh, girls, you better watch out. He wants to love. He wants love. And so would you. So you think about, you know, some of the messages are being taught, and I love my family in Christ, no matter where they are, if they believe in Jesus. But in some churches, there are messages, and that's what they teach. God wants you to work for him. That's not what God wants our love. He wants our affection, our attention. He wants us to get to know him. He wants us to fall in love with him, first love. You'll have many loves. You'll have pets. You'll have friends. But number one, you'll become where Jesus will become your number one lover. You know why? You might say, why? Because nobody can love like he can. No one can love you like he can. Oh, it's wonderful when you think about his love. A love that's, oh, it's just overwhelming. So this, then we think of these things and our hearts are stirred. We want to please him. If you did enter into a marriage relationship, you want to please your husband. And the Bible tells us that again. But if the more we fall in love with him, we think about what he said in 2 Peter 3:18. Let's turn here. We can quote this without even turning there. Okay. But growing grace and in the knowledge, we have that out in the front of our church. When you first come in the front, this is a scripture you'll see outside. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. So this is what faith produces. It enables us to grow in him. Not just know him, but grow in the grace, because we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves, and I know that. Your precious mom and sis have told you that. And so that's another thing. We grow, the more we know a person, we grow in love with them. We grow in touch and in love with their ways. We begin to fall in love. And that's what Jesus wants. So, you know, he loves us so much, saints. He can't keep his eyes off of us. That's just amazing. And all we can say is, wow. How can you be so loved that he just can't keep his eyes off of you? Well, this is what he does with us. And again, we come rejoicing. If we go to Matthew 11:29 here, we come rejoicing tonight because of the invitation that's here in the scripture. It's always been one of my favorites. Take take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, he wants us to learn of him, learn his ways. And for I am meek and lowly in heart. You know, that's become one of my greatest desires, and I know yours too, is to become meek and lowly in heart. Because it keeps us from being judgmental. It keeps us from, you might say, making choices that we wouldn't otherwise make, or just wanting to get along, with our sisters and brothers in Christ. But more than that, wanting to get along with anyone that we can be, get along with. But a meek and lowly heart is a rare thing, because we live in a world that promotes just the opposite. You've got to be. You can't be meek and lowly and be successful. You've got to grind at it. You've got to let your thoughts, your voice be known. You've got to make your boss understand. And I love this, because a meek and lowly heart is a loving heart. So we want to rejoice in that invitation that we have. And this meek and lowly heart will bring us to know Savior Jesus as our soon coming bridegroom. That's what he said. His wife will be meek and lowly. There's no doubt about it. I can't imagine Jesus being with anyone else but somebody meek and lowly. That just races past my imagination. She's got to be like him. And that's what we want. We want to grow to be like him. And we want to rejoice in the faith in us again. We have a chapter that we just read, and about the heroes of faith. And I'm not going to keep you long. I know we have plenty of time, but faith will be questioned again, like when I first started. And the Apostle Paul told us several times, he was persuaded. How did Paul become so assured and persuaded? By faith, by believing God's word. That's the only way that we can become persuaded. And so we want to become persuaded, and we confide, and we worship. And when it comes to things in our lives, and you can say when it comes to God's perfect will, again, you know, you'll even be asked, are you sure that God told you to go to that church? All of these things are real. It's a battle. It's a fight. Well, how do you know he wants you down there at 1701 South Street? And if it wasn't for a meek and lowly heart, I would say, well, how do you know he doesn't? See, that would be my attitude. But because of that meekness, I'll say, well, come here. Let's talk about it. I believe God led me there. I believe I was led there by the Holy Spirit. And I want to be there because I'm hearing a message of truth and grace and mercy. So I want to be there. Well, are you sure you're satisfied? I mean, you're telling them, saying faith will be battled. You're telling them you're comfortable here. You love here. Well, maybe you ought to try some other place. That's all you do is sit down there. You never go out to see what's other meetings. Saints, I don't need to go out. Amen. Everything is here that we need, everything. I don't need to go out and try to find some other message. I'm satisfied. I'm blessed. And I know that I'm believing with all the rest of you, I pray that one day, we're going to hear trumpets sound, and we're going to be caught up with him in the air. But I kid you not, you will hear these things. And sometime you'll hear them from people, and you just love on them. You pray and love on them that you would least expect. You still down there at Living Waters? Well, faith, what else brought me here but faith? Faith in this Jesus Christ, faith in this message, what keeps me here? Faith. I believe everything that is preached here and taught here is in this book. And I read it for myself and I hear it just pouring out of the pulpit, our pastor. So why wouldn't I want to stay here? Why wouldn't I want to grow up in grace and knowledge here? Why wouldn't I want to get happy here? Sing here, love on these precious saints, love on the body of Christ here, and love on the body of Christ everywhere. But hallelujah, hallelujah. This is some of the things you will hear. And again, I don't know why the Spirit wants me to continue to remind you. That doesn't mean you'll hear it from strangers. Always you'll hear it from them. But you'll hear it within. Paul said, and I didn't read that, he said, fighting's within, without. And to me that means it's not just within the family. It's other people. We got to remember that. So don't let it surprise you when somebody questions it. Are you still hearing that bridal message? Are you still hearing that you can never be lost? Are you still believing that you have eternal life and you don't have to work for it? This is the fight of faith that we will go. And as time gets closer to his coming, Vicki, it's going to get worse. Don't be surprised. Just be prayerful and thankful and glory to God. Get the time. Leave the time. So, yes, there will be a challenge. Like the Apostle Paul said again, you know what we have, he gave us full assurance of faith. How much faith is that? Full assurance. It's the faith that will take hold by God's grace in everything that's written in this book. Now, we're talking about the church age. We're in the church age. We're in the age of, like Pastor tells us, Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. Jesus Christ, we're ruling and reigning in this truth. And it's one of the most sweetest blessings that I've ever heard. Especially we fall more in love with Jesus. We fall more in love as we grow in grace and knowledge. We desire his attention. You can fall so much in love with him. We desire his attention. Have you ever wanted somebody's attention? Sure you have. Sure you have. All of us have. Whether we were young, like these beautiful ladies are dating, you want this person's attention. So how are you going to get it? You're going to get it by getting to know that person. And yet and still we have a Lord and Savior here that just loves us. And we have all the attention in the world. Don't ever think you don't have the Lord's attention. We do. And we glory in his attention. A lover that loves like he does, why wouldn't you? It'll almost make you dance. We love to show off with him. The more we fall in love. His loving, adoring eyes again are on us. He cannot keep his eyes off of us. Precious saints, we come always and we'll start back from the beginning, in a sense, rejoicing in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But whosoever, and I know you can repeat that, believes in him, has eternal, everlasting life. Our loving Savior, he reminds us, again, let's look at Hebrews 10:22. Let's go back there again. 10:22. And as I'm looking, I see another scripture that I want to make sure before I stop that I read to you. And it's in 1 John right now. Okay. Okay. So it says, let us draw near with the true heart in a little bit of faith, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. You see, when people begin to question your faith and ask you, the tendency of the enemy is to start to cause you to waver. And sure, it can be sometimes so serious, and you love this person or you care for them, till you will begin. You may start to waver. Well, maybe I'm not as happy as I thought I would. You are more than happy to be where you can hear how much Jesus loves you and that he's going to have a bride. You're ecstatic. You don't even have to go and think about that. You don't even have to discuss that. But those are the kind of faith will be challenged. And it's wonderful when you have that heart stirred like that. We just, as we look at God's Hall of Fame, I'd have to ask Ty, but I'd have to say, I don't think anyone in that Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11 didn't have a challenge. We may not read it, but I know Abraham did. And I think of one story, and Ty, you can ask Ty, that's probably more, where he wanted to deny his wife. He didn't deny her, but he was afraid of the men there, and he wanted her to say that he was her brother. And that wasn't too cool at all. But that's exactly what happened. So to me, as I read that and I think about the humanity of all of these wonderful overcomers in Hebrews 11, they had to be challenged. Abraham had to go along with this. He was afraid that the king wanted his wife. I think I would have, if it was a woman, I think I would have said something similar. It's like, no, I don't think so. And so you can go down that whole list of Hebrews 11, and I think you'll find faith was the challenge in most of their cases. So again, the message tonight is do not be shocked. As we come to a close, we know that you may confide again in someone after seeking the Lord, and don't be afraid to confide in someone. That's what we're here for. We're family. We're sisters and brothers in Christ. On a plan that you have, or a move that you want to make, a certain thing you want, a direction you want to go, a place of worship, you may do that. But let's just look at just a few before we close. Now, Noah, and I have to smile. I didn't smile when I first read that story. It took years because I didn't know the whole story. But Noah was told to build an ark. You probably know this story. And it had never rained. Let me ask you something. Do you think his faith was challenged? I can't imagine, and it didn't, Larry, it doesn't necessarily have been strangers. I'm talking about right in the household with you. You see, it was only 8 that got aboard. What happened to the other part of the family? I believe he had more than that. I don't think that was all of the family. But the thing that they looked at is Noah just believes too much. He believes it's going to rain, and we don't even know what rain is. We never heard of it. And he's building a ship down there out in the desert. He's crazy. And that's when, and if, glory to God, if people don't say that about us, if they don't, wonder why. Because we can seem a little bit crazy. You down there talking about Jesus Christ have a bride? Oh, isn't it wonderful to be a little bit challenged? Isn't it wonderful to be able to stand regardless of what people say? And start with family, naturally. It's just wonderful to stand and withstand. And having done all to stand. And sure, we love them. I'm not saying, again, to strike up an argument or, but I can't imagine when that ark started floating away, how the family that was there and didn't get aboard must have felt. You see, when that trumpet sounds and the bride is caught up, God spare me, I wouldn't want to see the faces of hallelujah of some of these people that challenged my faith. But God allowed it because he wants us to stand and withstand, having done all to stand. I can't imagine. All I can say, Ty, is, well, she said that. I guess it was true. It's too late. The doors are closed. It's too late. The bride is caught up. There will not be another catching away of the bride of Christ. And that's what we want to stand on. Yes. It's just praise the Lord. And that's just one. We could go down through all of them. But I've thought about that. And someone building an ark and hadn't rained. And I mean, you can go through all of those wonderful heroes of faith and probably find they had been challenged some kind of way about things. And we hear our pastor all the time telling us what they endured. We endure hardships as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. So it's precious when we think about it. When we think about that voice of doubt and God's stands on his word, and as we stand and withstand, let's look at Ephesians 6:13. And as we look at this scripture, it reminds us, praise the Lord. Starts off with the whole armor of God. What does our great apostle Paul tell us there? What does he tell us, saints? Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you may be able to quench. What are all those questions that are fired at us? Are you sure you're supposed to do this or that? Aren't they the fiery darts of the enemy? I don't care if it was my natural sister standing next to me, and I love my sister. But if she kept asking me, are you sure you're supposed to be at that meeting? Are you sure that message is true? Are you sure Jesus is going to have a bride? Who told you that? How do you know? That's the fiery darts of the enemy. That's not even my sister. So that's what we got to realize. It's not about that. It's about being defeated by being question, or maybe, because the whole idea is to get you to start thinking, swaying, being double-minded. That's the whole idea, is you don't have to be comfortable being where you are. That's exactly what it is. So as we think of this scripture, Paul gave us this, but take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, because it's all the Word of God. That's what it is. That's why you can take that shield of faith and just wear it, saints, by God's grace. Just wear it. Because I don't think those questions and those attacks are going to go away. But that shield of faith will keep us. In fact, they'll be saying, oh, don't even talk to so-and-so. They're not going to listen. Thank God. Thank God the enemy knows. He knows he's defeated. So praise the Lord. It's wonderful. And then, let's look again. One more scripture. Let's look at Jude before we close. Okay. The fifth chapter of Jude. Okay, it says that, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And that's the promise we have. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. But again, if you don't remember anything else, remember that faith is a fight, but it's a good fight because the Lord is faithful and he's able to keep us, which we have committed. We have committed unto him against what day? That day. That day of the bride of Christ, standing face to face with him as his wonderful, glorious bride. Thank God. Praise the Lord. He's faithful. Stand with stand. And haven't done all to stand. And someone says, well, why do you believe this? Because, again, it's written. This is not something I made up. This is the Word of God. And it will stand. It will stand. And we're not trying to prove anything, but you might look up one day and that person doing all the questioning might be sitting 3 aisles down from you. Because why? Because you made a stand for the truth. That very person may be drawn in because it's like, yes, Lord, I believe. Praise the Lord.